All right, welcome in to the Week 9 episode of Fantastics Insider Football Podcast. I'm Dan Claskins, back with James Adams, and wow, Week 9, the second half of the season begins now, and in today's episode, we're going to set the table for the first week of it. It's the biggest bye week of the season. We're going to talk about that, talk about some guys we like in our lineup, and of course, get into all the injuries. We've got some deadline deals on this deadline day in the NFL, some big fantasy movers. We're going to get to all of it. But James, I'll tell you what, man, the NFL trade deadline has now become very much, in my eyes, similar to what we used to get excited about with the MLB trade deadline from a fantasy perspective.
I got off work today and I thought, man, this is going to be like checking out what the NFL draft is like, because there's going to be some impact players. You know, it's almost like, obviously not quite as impactful as the first round of the NFL draft, but seeing some players who were certainly first round talents, whether they were drafted there or not, on the move today was, I'm with you, dude. It was really exciting. And I've been kind of just trying to digest it as we move through the day, figuring out how my fantasy teams have been affected and, well, how
it's real time digestion with it James is. Adams, and there's not even food involved. That's amazing.
Well, it is after dinner. Right.
Well, yeah, I got tacos waiting for me when we're done ripping this up. So make your points quickly here, dude. There's guacamole involved, but no. In terms of all the moves, we're going to get into them, and it's just quick first takes on fantasy wise for sure. And also, if you're new to the podcast, welcome. We love having you. And if you want to keep up with it, you can subscribe wherever you listen, including Spotify, Google, Apple, to name a few. InsiderFootball.com. Of course, that's our website. And you catch me and James Saturday mornings all season long on SiriusXM Fantasy, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern. And except for this week, I'll be out, James, out doing some cool things with the DAV 5K. So Skeeter in with you, loving that. And but let's get into what's going on here, these moves, and so many of them. We'll obviously go through them all here. Is there one that just off of the tip of the iceberg, James, you heard and you're like, wow, this is a big fantasy impact?
Well, I guess I can't give you Calvin Ridley since that one doesn't happen until next year, but I have him in two dynasty leagues.
I know you got some Calvin Ridley shares.
I was that one piqued my interest, but I mean, I guess from a straight fantasy perspective, I suppose it's got to be TJ Hockenson. Although, I don't know, man.
I think Hockenson was it was surprising that they traded him, especially inside the division. But I will say, inside the division is one thing. But they get the second rounder here, which I guess, I mean, there's a lot of draft capital. From a pure fantasy perspective for Hockenson, though, I mean, I think it's a lateral move. I mean, he's going into an offense where he's not going to trump Justin Jefferson or Dalvin Cook. I mean, at best, he's third and fourth option in it. Irv Smith, obviously, on IR, he's gone for the season, so you can safely drop him. But Hockenson was a back-end tight end one in my eyes before this deal, James. And as the deal comes to resolution here, it's about where I still rank him.
Okay, that's fair. I guess I was just thinking about the biggest fantasy player involved, but you're probably right. Maybe it is more of the Jeff Wilson or, you know, I don't know. Maybe it's Chase Claypool. Well, I don't know.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit, go through the moves, and just, we don't know, right? And here's the thing. I mean, I don't think anything happened today that was like, holy cow, this is the game changer, like Christian McCaffrey getting traded a couple weeks ago. We'll get into his performance in a bit as well. But James, I would say, you know, let's start with some of you had the Hockenson move. I think another interesting one that happened today, Chase Claypool going to the Bears. We know it wasn't working out there in Pittsburgh. I mean, it's been a little weird there with him and Tomlin for a little bit, but Pittsburgh's on the road to nowhere. They're getting a draft pick. They also got Roquan Smith and William Jackson. I mean, they're picking up defensive pieces left and right, but in terms of getting rid of Claypool, this certainly opens up more targets for those receivers. But this is interesting because Justin Fields is ascending these past couple weeks here. Now you put somebody opposite of Moody. They got an abundance of picks. This is basically part of the Roquan Smith. They traded some of that, who had a year and a half on his contract. Now they got a year and a half of Chase Claypool. I don't hate it. From a fantasy perspective, though, I mean, if I don't have Claypool on any season-long rosters, in all transparency here, but if I did, this is a move that maybe later in the year it means something, but it's going to take a minute here. And this offense, although ascending, I still have my question marks about the passing game. So I don't know. I think another sort of a lateral move here with Chase Claypool. But what about the Chase Edmonds? You mentioned this. He's now on his way. Let's talk about the Broncos here a bit further in this backfield. It's been a mess, but now they get Chase Edmonds. It's all part of the Bradley Chubb trade fallout. We'll get into the defensive part of it in a minute, but Chase Edmonds ends up over here, James, now in Denver. And I mean, it was Javonte Williams. No, then it was Melvin Gordon and he fumbled. Now Latavius Murray's in there. We know Mike Boone went on the IR. Now it's Chase Edmonds. What the heck? Is any Bronco running back going to have any fantasy relevance?
I still think that maybe it's Latavius Murray first, but Edmonds may well be the pass catcher. If Melvin Gordon doesn't get back to that role, this is not a move that excites me at all. In fact, I think what it does really is it was a move that made room for Jeff Wilson, who may well ding Raheem Mostert's value a little bit because those two have worked in tandem before, and certainly they will do so as Wilson was performing at a better rate than Edmonds this year. So I think the real fallout there is just the implications to the Raheem Mostert value. If he did, I think he was a back-end RB2, maybe even mid-range RB2, especially with bye weeks this week. And I think he probably stays there this week. But I think that's the biggest fallout of all the move because I'm not too interested in what's going on in Denver still. And I know both guys had a touchdown in Murray and Gordon. I'm still not in love with that offense. And Edmonds doesn't do anything for me. Just changes the dynamic in Miami.
Yeah, Bradley Chubb in Miami is really good for that defense. I mean, Absolutely. Holy cow. They're getting an immediate upgrade, big move in that regard. And I will say, then they go on and they make a move for Jeff Wilson. And we said the same thing about Raheem Mostert, that familiarity of the system here. Wilson immediately comes in here as an RB2 in my eyes in Edmonds' departure. I mean, he's going to be ahead of Miles Gaskin and Ahmed. I mean, he knows the system. This was purposeful. They didn't get much to get him. So, and with Elijah Mitchell pending a comeback, I mean, Jeff Wilson was a guy that in my eyes, it was basically getting cuttable going into the bye week here, assuming Mitchell was to return with the addition of McCaffrey. Now here, he's at least in a situation where there's a role for him for touches on a weekly basis here, James. And this Miami offense, not a bad one to have a piece of.
Great move by the San Francisco 49ers, having made him expendable on their team. And it's great for fantasy folks out there because Wilson's value certainly goes up. Whether or not it hurts Mostert remains to be seen, but it's a plus for Wilson.
Yeah, I think Mostert is what he is, which is a steal in the mid rounds right now as a weekly RB2 play. And let's face it, most fantasy managers really struggle in who their RB2 is every week. So sure. I don't know if he would be the fantasy MVP, but he certainly has been a valuable player given that price point. The other thing was interesting, just quickly here, Nyheim Hines on his way to the Colts. I was starting to think James Cook is, Buffalo. I got that backwards there. The Bills getting Nyheim Hines from the Colts, I should say, for basically Zach Moss and a late round pick. So Moss is gone. James Cook was ascending here, but now a passing down back is what they've got. Hines in Buffalo. Certainly a great piece for this Bills offense, James, but still not really thinking it's going to be a large enough role to lock him into your lineup, but makes Nyheim Hines a nice bench piece for any fantasy roster.
Definitely worth rostering. All it does is muddy these waters. What we thought had clarity because Zach Moss was weeded out of the rotation. Well, he's out of the situation altogether, and his replacement, I think, just keeps those muddied waters. Great for the Bills. Not great for fantasy.
You know who the big winner in that deal in my eyes is? Deion Jackson. We saw the flash in the week without Taylor there. Of course, I was going against that dude in a couple leagues. And then the only league I picked him up in, I didn't start him. Oh, man.
But I had Conklin on some benches this week, so I feel
like I will say that he's going to have a role now. And Taylor hasn't looked great. This offense, I mean, the Colts with Ellinger, I mean, not a very exciting offense to have any components of in fantasy. But perhaps that turns around. We shall see. I would say, James, the other move really out there wasn't really from a fantasy side, but Roquan Smith, a nice get there as well for Baltimore.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's a huge get for them, Dan. And that went down, you know, before the Bengals had played their Monday night game. And I'm thinking, man, that's a huge get for Baltimore, who has certainly made their defense look better. And I know it's been somewhat of Lamar's late play that's cost them some wins where they could be, frankly, they could be undefeated. It's also been the defense a little bit, and this is a huge addition for Baltimore's defense. We'll see if there's any fantasy implications. May just make their defense a little bit tougher to move the ball on, which they haven't been great, frankly.
So be sure to keep up at insiderfootball.com as we project all these players in their new homes. And, of course, catch James and Skeeter this weekend as they dive a little deeper into that. But, James, transitioning over to some of the injury news coming out of the week, the things just keep piling up. Really, I mean, it's hard to find an NFL team right now that isn't missing a key piece somewhere on it. And it's just that point of the season, right? That's why depth is important. This week, James, before we get to the injuries, we have to keep in mind we've got six teams on bye now. Cleveland, Dallas, Denver, the Giants, Pittsburgh, and San Fran all off for this weekend.
And the playoffs are looming, Dan. You could say this is a pretty important week in fantasy. Wouldn't you say that?
It might be the most important week of the season so far.
I've been thinking about how you haven't said that for a while. And then I also thought...
the second half. I don't start till the second half, for the record.
But the reality is, I mean, with six teams on bye, gosh, we're going to get into strategy this week. There's going to be a lot of teams out there that are absolutely scraping at the waiver wire for a potential play, or maybe just scraping their bench for a potential play that maybe could leave them ghosted. Yeah, this is certainly one of those weeks where any injury is just devastating unless for somewhere or another you've got a team that's completely without any bye issues.
I know. I mean, it's impossible to find a team without any buys. Dude, I've got some teams where with injuries, my Scott Fishbowl team, the playoffs start in week 11. I'm buried in last place. And I mean, I'm not even going to go through the roster, but I mean, it was like the black hat jinx. What's our character in the fantasy league? The black cat. Everybody on that team. I mean, there's just this terrific story and it had some risk behind it, but it's laughable. I got five quarterbacks on my roster. None of them available for week 9.
Oof. I'll tell you what's laughable talking about that, because I know you had Cam Akers on that team, if I'm not mistaken.
And J.K. Dobbins.
He and Ronald Jones nowhere near trade discussions on this this trade deal.
Yeah, and that was the thing about the trade talk I didn't get to. Two surprising guys to me that didn't get dealt, Kareem Hunt and Brandon Cooks. Yeah. And Cooks is already taking the Twitter. He's pretty disgruntled now. And
that's a problem.
There is problems a-brewing with him, which could be disappointing there as well. Something to monitor for sure. James, in terms of the injuries, we work through it. I mean, the big one, obviously, from since we last talked on the podcast, was the news of Ja'Marr Chase. And we'll, sure. I mean, we saw that on Monday night, how bad this Bengals offense struggled without him.
Gosh. I mean, look, we had conversations during the weekend about why the Bengals should not have a problem because they should just run the freaking football. And I think Joe Mixon had 8 carries. And I know Joe Mixon hasn't looked good. Then run the ball to Perine. Run it to Evans, for goodness sakes. The deficiencies for the Bengals were plentiful. But certainly, Ja'Marr Chase not being there was a massive, massive blow to this offense.
Yeah, and you look around at some of the other injury situations from the week, and like I said, they just keep piling up. Not a terrible week, but the big one was Cooper Kupp, right? Didn't look good at all. He hurt his ankle at the very end of that Rams game. Probably shouldn't even have been in the game to begin with at that point, with it well in hand. Turns out, it looks like it's pretty lucky. All signs are trending good for him. So that's promising. Other news at receiver, we saw DeVante Parker. He left Sunday's game against the Jets after suffering a knee injury on the very first snap of the game. So he'd been pretty solid. That's big news. And then at tight end, Irv Smith, the MRI came back bad. He's now out for the season. Won't matter. He's on IR for 8 to 10 weeks specifically, but it won't matter here. With the addition of TJ Hockenson, Smith can be cut in leagues. Not much at running back. The Mark Ingram, I know, was dinged up. So overall, not a lot of big injuries from a fantasy perspective, at least coming out of week number 8, which takes us to the week 9 waiver wire. And James, another trade that happened since our last podcast, Kadarius Toney traded to the Chiefs. And he's healthy coming out of the byes. If he's out there in leagues, and he's been picked up in most, but he would certainly be on top of that list. But Let's talk about some other players. So let's start at running back. I mean, we talked about James Cook. He was a guy that I had identified when thinking about this segment earlier in the day, but then they traded for Hines. So, I mean, I'll still grab Cook. He's out there in a couple of my shallower leagues right now, matter of fact, in my 10-teamers. But I will say he's a good guy. Anything else at running back? I mean, we talked, obviously, about Deion Jackson and Hines and whatever, all the guys that, and trade ripple effects here, but any other running backs that, you know, you're thinking might be out there in some leagues on the wire this week?
I mean, the Carolina running backs, if nobody bit yet, but not really. I mean, Jeff Wilson, had he been dropped because he's now on the move, I think this week you're really looking more for implications from the recent moves than you are from any play we saw.
Yeah, I mean, the only other running back that I've sort of been looking around for on wires, and he's been scooped up in a lot of the savvy leagues I play in, but Kyren Williams there.
Yeah,
with that Rams, that situation in LA is just a mess. So
I picked him up already in a few leagues. But yeah, if he's out there, he's certainly
not picking up Bronny Rivers, though, for the record. I know he led the Rams backfield in touches this past week, but nah, I'll let somebody else do that.
I agree with that.
All right, let's talk a more interesting position, perhaps. Let's talk receiver. I mean, Kadarius Toney, that was sort of a prayer. I'll tell you, a guy that was cutting a few leagues, James, that's catching my eye coming out of the bye, was Josh Palmer there, especially with Mike Williams now sidelined for at least a few more weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, he was a guy with a little bit of hype. I mean, Van Jefferson may well fit that same mold, not quite to the extreme that Palmer's been so good this year, but both once filling in a gap right there, and both offenses that we think have some explosivity to it. So I would agree there. I mean, Claypool, if he's available, you know, again, you're looking at those. I don't know if I'm after Tony. I kind of think Tony is a move for them for next year. Mm. Like, do you think he's going to learn the playbook and become?
I mean, he's worth a stash for sure. I mean, the offense is too potent. I mean, I'm not picking him up with the expectation of starting him anytime soon. I might be cutting him in 2-3 weeks, but.
Okay.
If you're asking me how much of my fab left at this point of the season, I'm a little more aggressive on fab on high upside dudes, which he would check that list. The ceiling's high.
Yeah.
I admit that the floor is low as well. Now, in terms of other receivers, we mentioned Palmer. I think another couple guys that maybe got dumped in recent struggles, Dobbs and Allen Robinson, would be interesting. A player that I was sort of watching a little bit of that Carolina-Atlanta game over on Red Zone Channel Sunday, and man, Terrence Marshall getting a little more involved, and with Walker looking somewhat like a quarterback now and keeping that job in Carolina. He's another guy. I don't want to start him anytime soon, but I'd grab him.
9 targets on Sunday.
And I already did grab Darius Slayton in a couple spots just because the Giants are so thin. I mean, it's not like I love Slayton, but quarterbacks, I mean, what do you got, James?
I mean, what is there? You're playing bye week still. You're doing the same thing you should have been doing for multiple weeks. You're looking ahead to see who's replacing your bye week player. I mean,
it definitely looks like
you want to go Heinicke. Okay,
yeah, it definitely looks like Andy Dalton and PJ Walker are entrenched as their starting jobs for right now.
Walker certainly is going to start the rest of the year, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking pretty good. And Dalton, as long as he's starting, Alvin Kamara's getting used, so that makes me happy because I've got some Kamara in some pretty high places. All right. So outside of that, I think at receiver, I mean, we already mentioned Van Jefferson maybe is out there.
I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, if Bateman's not going to be back anytime soon.
No thanks.
I know, but at this point, you're grasping at straws for somebody who's just going to get snaps.
I've got nothing at tight end that I think's out there. I mean, Conklin, after people cut him, I know. I mean, Isaiah Likely, duh. I mean, if Mark Andrews, but they're saying the shoulder's not that bad, so at best you're going to get one more week, so then it's a bye, then Andrews is back, so Likely in deeper leagues worth it, but not going to get a lot of long-term play out there, and you're just your standard hometowns.
Yeah, that's all I got for you. Maybe a Juwan Johnson if you haven't done so yet there.
All right, so with the waiver wire to rest, we turn our attention to that first look of Week 9. With 6 teams on bye, it also means the fewest games on the slate of the season, just 13 contests, kicking off Thursday night with the dud, Philadelphia at Houston. 13-point favorite there, the Eagles are the Texans, with the total at 44, and that's if Cooks actually plays. Maybe he gets disgruntled coming out of this. James, the only interesting storyline in this one is the fact that the Phillies and the Astros are playing the World Series at the same exact time. That is really, really crazy, but pretty cool.
That blew my mind, dude. I realized the Phillies, I guess I just forgot they were playing the Astros.
On the same day now because of the rainout last night.
Absolutely. I mean,
talk about a crazy.
I'm speechless. You just threw me for a loop there.
How did you not hear this yet, dude? I mean.
I've been out cutting grass. I was handing out candy yesterday, dude.
That's what it was. Distracted by the candy. The truth comes out. The candy was distracting your brain. The sugar has put you into your brain into weird places. All right. I'm not going to get excited about this football game. And we don't want to talk about it much longer. Let's look at those early 1 o'clock games where there's most of them going on at that time. Minnesota at Washington, that's a 3.5 point favorite for the Vikings there. In the Commanders, 43.5 at home. And we got Carolina at Cincinnati. The Bengals were -8 before last night's game. I'm thinking it's sticking there. 44 is the total currently. Buffalo, 13-point favorites at the Jets, 47.5 the spread in that one. And James, let's just talk about this Bills offense. I mean, Hines, it might take him a minute to get involved here, but I mean, last week, even though Green Bay's D was so good, they still put 27 on the board here. And I mean, it's as good as it gets with, I mean, Josh Allen and Diggs and Davis, but I'm really interested to see how this running game does develop because Cook is a guy I still think could be a late season difference maker. Obviously, it might now take an injury or something with Singletary, but on the Jets side of it, Zach Wilson's looking pretty terrible. Elijah Moore's still not getting targeted, so it's sort of a mess there. And even with Breece Hall out, it didn't get any better.
No, the Jets seem to be somewhat, I don't know if we'll say exposed as a fraud at 5-2. I mean, again, this is a team I thought was going to be one of the last winless teams. And so they're 5-2. It was an impressive run, but they were a bit exposed to the Patriots. And the reality is, if they can't get more going, I'm sorry, but Carter, he's not the answer. Neither is James Robinson to what Breece Hall was doing. They're both fine NFL backs, but Breece Hall was special, and they've lost that.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think it's not coming back. The offensive line injuries are just the key to the situation, I think, and the seal in the deal here. Indy is at New England. 5.5 point spread now are the Patriots. The total's at 39.5 in that one. It should be another defensive battle with Sam Ellinger there. It just does not look very good for this Colts offense. This is not the contest I'm expecting Jonathan Taylor to turn around. Sorry, he's sort of a bust, at least as the number one overall pick at this point. And with that, I mean, Pittman, the passing volume, just not there. So this is a terrible matchup to start any of these Colts. And on the other side of it, New England, I mean, Jacoby Myers in the running game, that's about it there. So pretty clear on that. Las Vegas is at Jacksonville. The Raiders, a 1-point favorite. The Jags at 46, just trying to figure out how not to beat themselves and really struggling to do it. James, one of the interesting games of the week, and an over that I've already identified, it's been moved 2.5 points quickly. Miami and Chicago. The Dolphins, 4.5 point favorites here at Soldier Field. These offenses both are a little exciting, and the Bears getting even more weapons. We talked about this, but man, what about Tua and these receivers? Things in Miami looking pretty good.
Oh, they were electric again this week, but let's remember that defense, which, was not good, is going to open up, offer a lot of things to Fields and friends this week too. The Lions had a substantial lead, right? The Dolphins had to make a big comeback to win that game. By the way, that was my mom's survivor pick, so I was invested in that game. But the Dolphins did advance, so it was all good. But you're right. I mean, the Bears should be able to keep pace, so I like the fact that you like that over where it sits. I'm looking at it at 45.5 right now. I agree with you because the Bears showed they could play some good offense against the Pats 2 weeks ago. They stumbled a little bit, but the Dolphins certainly offer them an opportunity to move the ball, and the Dolphins will do the same thing themselves.
Yeah, and the Bears just got rid of their best defensive player in Roquan Smith, which is why the totals bumped up even a point since I tracked it this morning. So,
even though the Dolphins maybe just added their best.
Interesting. Green Bay is at Detroit. The Packers, 3-point favorites here. The Lions, really curious what they're trying to do right now. The trade of Hockenson, not a good sign. It's in Detroit. Man, this is the game Aaron Rodgers gets healthy. If it ever comes, it comes against this Lions secondary. They just fired their secondary coach, by the way.
I don't know if Rodgers gets healthy, but Green Bay probably wins this game. But I'm certainly not. I'm not placing any monetary wager on it. I will say this to the Hockenson move. Maybe I get it because Jameson Williams is coming at some point. Amon-Ra St. Brown surely looks like an over-the-middle possession type of player. They still have DJ Chark there, a nice double, you know, two-headed monster at running back. I kind of get letting Hockenson go because they got a nice return for him, and let's face it, other than the week Amon-Ra St. Brown was out, Hockenson wasn't, or well, everyone was out. Hockenson had like one great week, but he wasn't great. So I get where they're going with this one, but I think the Packers, I mean, I don't know. Am I just a broken record idiot that I think they get healthy this week?
No, James, you're none of those things, my friend.
Thanks.
But I don't know if you're right on this one. We'll see. We'll see.
I won't know. Pick either
the
side of Survivor.
I don't know. Let's go on to the next matchup. We've got some more good ones here on tap, and it's the Falcons suddenly looking like they're going to be a contender. The leaders in the NFC South, the best division in football. They are hosting the Chargers. -3 are the Chargers and the visitors in this one. 59.5 the total there. This is really interesting here. There is a little bit of buzz. Maybe Cordarrelle Patterson is back this week. We've seen Algier do decent in the backfield. I don't know, James. I don't think anybody really gets a lot of anything in there. So, I mean, I think the Falcons running backs is like rolling a dice once they all get back in there. But a lot of things to like in the passing game. A lot of people have been cutting Kyle Pitts and, man, he looked pretty good in this last week's game versus the Panthers.
Led the team in yards and catches. I would say that Kyle Pitts is still probably the way tight end is, more than likely a must-start tight end. And I would say this, if Patterson's back, Cordarrelle Patterson, I think you're playing him because I think he's a receiving option too. And we're not seeing a ton of that from either of the guys that get the ball now in Huntley and Algier. So I think Patterson does immediately get back into flex position if he's active.
Well, I mean, that's what I would expect. I mean, that's where he was when he left in my eyes. So he did have a couple big games early, but Algier has looked decent. And
he has looked good.
You still have Mariota running the ball, which is another factor in the equation. On the other side of it, the Chargers, I mean, Eckler, they're not having Mike Williams, Keenan Allen getting back in the mix here, but they've got to look better. Herbert has not looked himself yet. The line is battling some problems here. There's some things to prove, and laying 3 on the road is pretty optimistic in my eyes. Seattle at Arizona and LA at the Bucks. That's the Rams. Those are the two late afternoon games. Everybody's going to be funneled into the Rams and the Bucks. Tom Brady, we all remember what should have been the last game of his career if he had done it right. But he didn't. He went back, and now it's the rematch. And James, this time around, you got two teams sort of reeling here. It's hard to say who might blow this one worse.
That's exactly what this is. This is a game between teams that are, last year's like best teams in this conference. Maybe not the top two, but certainly in the conversation. To now, two teams that are, one of them's probably out of the playoffs. Maybe not, but feels like one of them is going to be out of the playoffs.
Oh, I think the loser of this game is in a terrible position for the postseason.
Yeah. How the winner's in a bad place.
Yeah, I mean, but that's what I'm saying. It almost feels like a must-win game for these. I mean, it's like a playoff game sort of right now.
I don't disagree with that, yeah.
Of the two, I have more optimism that the Rams will at least show improvement than I do the Bucks right now.
I don't have optimism. Maybe it's because the Rams, I don't know, the Rams always lose to San Fran.
For clarity, I said between the two.
I guess my thought is the Rams always lose to San Fran, so you're giving them a pass there.
All right, so let's look at the two primetime matchups. Tennessee is at Kansas City. The Chiefs, a 12.5-point favorite. 46.5-point is the over-under, and they're coming off a bye week. We've got Baltimore at New Orleans. Andy Dalton in primetime, baby. The Ravens, 2.5-point favorites there on the road. The total's at 48. From a fantasy perspective, how do you think these two games are going to roll, James?
I bet you the last time Andy Dalton played the Ravens in primetime, he had like 3 touchdown passes to A.J. Green in the first half. I was at a Thursday Niner not too long ago that happened.
Wow. Are we going to the database to your brain, or you want me to Google this stuff?
That may be the best Andy Dalton primetime performance ever. And we certainly know that it's normally not good. I'm just guessing that was his last game against the Ravens. And I'll throw a home game in there as another caveat, since it was at Paul Brown Stadium before it became Paycor. My thoughts are, I don't think there's much to like in that Monday night game. The Ravens should walk the Saints, but they showed some backbone last week by getting the shutout and the big win. But I think Chiefs-Titans is a big-time game. Very intriguing. The Titans have all of a sudden worked themselves back into the conversation as one of the front runners in the AFC.
Yeah, and that Monday nighter, I mean, Lamar Jackson in prime time. The Saints D is look suspect. I think that's going to be a really good one. Bateman being out's interesting. Will Mark Andrews be healthy? And are we waiting around till game time for that decision? That all could be things that are part of the storylines as we inch our way closer to kickoff. And that's why you want to keep it with us. You can follow James on Twitter at JamesAdams94, me at Dan Claskins, and we'll get you up to date on that more on the show on Saturday, of course. But right now, James, we're going to get into our Thrive Fantasy Weekly Contest. And for those that aren't familiar with Thrive, now's your time to do so. You can enter for your chance to win $20,000 on Thrive Fantasy. Thrive's featured player prop contest for week 9 is $25 to enter, $100,000 guaranteed, $20,000 to first place. Often we see some serious overlay there up for grabs. So pick your 10 props. You can compete. Sign up, use promo code FANTISTICS, and receive a 100% instant deposit bonus match up to $100. Visit thrivefantasy.com today. And James, last week was a good week for you, my friend. It wasn't terrible for me. I went 2-2 on the week. One of my misses was my ice pick. So I scored on two of my three picks, including Cooper Kupp under the 9.5 receptions for 85.5 points. Jonathan Taylor over 83.5 did not happen, though. He only missed it. He had 76. That was 120 points, too. So that was almost a hit there. But Aaron Rodgers, I got under 241.5 passing yards. He threw for 203. I missed on the Tyreek Hill touchdown on the ice pick. 2-2 for me. 7-14 on the season. I got 1,330 points. You went 3-1 this week. You didn't get your ice pick. So we each hit two in there. But you had a couple of 105 and 100 pointers there with Dak Prescott under the 257 and Justin Jefferson over the 85.5.
The Dak one was so close. He was at 250. I was sweating
bullets. Alvin Kamara had an amazing game, but still didn't get to the over 66.5 rushing yards. Just got 62. So you were 5 yards away from a 4-0 pick here. Your ice pick, DeAndre Hopkins, went over 6.5 receptions, almost doubled it with 12 catches, but no points there. But dude, you cut it in. You're 15-16 fighting back and 1145 points. So you've cut the deficit to less than 200 here. It's getting interesting, my friend, as we get to the second half of the season. And with that, as last week's winner, you get first dibs on this week's pick.
Mm-mm-mm. I'm not sure if there's one that's really jumping out to me that I want to grab. There's one I'm going to use probably, but I don't think you're going to. All right, let's go with my man. I'm on Ross St. Brown. He's getting back into the end zone. He certainly got back into the flow of the game this past week. I think he had 5 or 6 catches. So back into his healthy flow. I'm going to go in the end zone. I get 115 points. So we'll go over the half a total receiving touchdown for the sun god.
Amon Ra with the over on the touchdown total. I can get behind that. I can get behind that. That's pretty good. I'm going to go under 6.5 catches for T. Higgins for 95 points. I do like T. Higgins, think he'll have a good game, but 7 catches, I mean, that's going to be tougher than you think. And the way they looked last night, I'll take my chances.
He didn't get 7 targets last night. Forget the catches.
Under 6.5 catches, T. Higgins for 95 points.
All right, let's go. We're going to go with Kirk Cousins here, Dan. We're going to go under the half a total interception in his revenge game against Washington. I get 120 points for that. I say Kirk Cousins under a half an interception.
Okay. That's interesting. Those interception ones, those are always weird ones to me. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad pick or anything, but it's like,
It's just the points.
Yeah,
I catched last week by making some of these. I forget who I went under a half, but I got it.
Do you have a lot of success betting the completions? I mean, is it more the unders or overs you look at on them?
The interceptions, it's not. It's some Skeeter said to me, it is more about the point play. And it's about the fact that I can get 120 points if he doesn't throw a pick. And if I get those 120 points, I get the 115 for Amon Ross St. Brown. It's not about maybe men cashing, but it's getting up into that upper echelon. Yeah, and I went 7-2.
Definitely when you're playing the slate of trying to win this $20,000.
I mean, and that's all I'm picking is I'm picking plays I pick. So last week I went 7-3 and I did cash. And I'm kind of just playing that. If I'm going to miss, I'm going to miss swinging for the fences.
You got to have baseball. A couple. It's like your fantasy team. You want to have some roll the dice out and have like a nice, you know, a couple risky picks, a couple safer plays.
Absolutely.
Right? Because this isn't a cash game. It's a GPP here. And that's the way we're picking it. All right. So moving along, I'm going to go Patrick Mahomes here on the over 23.5 completions. I just think they're going to come out and pass all over them. Coming out of the bye, fresh, in KC, the Titans are just going to get lit up like a Christmas tree is what I think.
All right. I can get with that one. I guess I'm going to save that one for my ice pick. I'm going to go Tyreek Hill here for my final selection in play. And I will go with the even money over 86.5 total receiving yards. He just continues to get a ton of targets, and he's going to get to that yardage total again, I'm going to guess. So I'll go 100 points with the more over.
Yeah, you're riding my pick, hot pick from last week there. That was
I used it too.
Yeah. I'm going to go Michael Pittman under the 54.5 receiving yards. They're in New England. Ellinger looks like terrible. Belichick is going to, really feast on Jonathan. I don't know. This is just going to get ugly for the Colts. So I'm going to ride that thought.
Oh, Dan, I want to do the Derrick Henry one. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to use that one in regular play. But a smarter, better ice pick that I like, I'm going to go with Kyler Murray, excuse me, and I'm going to go over the 2.5 total passing touchdowns and interceptions. The Seattle Seahawks didn't have an INT last week, but had 5 straight games with one, and Kyler Murray likes to sling it, and I figure he'll get it. I'm playing the cross your fingers game here. Maybe it's 2 interceptions, but give me the over 2.5 total.
And my over pick for my ice pick is over 92.5 rushing plus receiving yards for Austin Eckler. 100 points either way you play it. I think it's a really safe pick. I like it. I was going to use it over the Pittman thing, but I was going for a little more points there, James, as you said in our head-to-head. So go on. You can use those 8 picks. Pick a few of your own. Play with us over at Thrive Fantasy. Use that promo code Fantistics. And while you're online, be sure to go over and subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen, Apple, Spotify, Google, name a few, insiderfootball.com. And James, I won't be with you on Saturday. I know you and Skeeter will hold it down. Any final thoughts you got here on this week 9 and some of those tough lineup decisions with all these teams on bye?
Absolutely do. I normally tell people, don't look at your opponents, set your lineup. There's 6 teams on bye. There's injuries. Look at your opponents before you make that final decision to see if you need to swing for the fences, high upside, or play a high floor guy, because you're going to find some opponents whose expected point total is going to be, you know, whether it's the PPR high-end scoring leagues where they're getting like, you know, projected 110, where normally it's 140 wins. Keep your eyes on that and what your opponent has at their dispersal or disposal before you make those last position flex decisions and what you need, what your expectations should be from that player, because it's going to vary from league to league.
Words of wisdom. Good ones there by my friend James Adams. For James and myself, Dan Klaskins, we'll catch you next time right here on the Fantistics Insider Football Podcast.